Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. I am sorry for all this technology problems. Anyway, here we are. We're just going to go forward. I am calling this one, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And I want to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace, give you his peace. I declare that you will have above and beyond what you could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill your part of his story in Jesus' name. And I'm going to declare the numbers 10-9, and then we're going to play the recording of the shofar. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of your enemies. So here we go with the recording of the shofar. Today is going to be Ephesians 1, 17 through 23 in the Amplified. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of you, Lord, having the eyes of our hearts flooded with light, so that we can know and can understand the hope to which we have been called, and how rich is your glorious inheritance in the saints, your set apart ones? Lord, thank you for helping us know and understand your immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of your power in us and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and we are his feet because we are his body, and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is your body, Lord, the fullness of you, who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. And I called this, my title is from Genesis 28:16, because the Lord is always trying to communicate with us. He went to the greatest lengths to communicate with us. And so I wanted to go in Genesis 28:10, where Jacob has this incredible dream. And so it says he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones and of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on earth, with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob arose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. And I just love it because there's a picture of tithing, and people talk about Abraham, you know, when he was in that battle, and he gave a tenth to Melchizedek, and they say that tithing isn't for today, but that was before the law ever came into being. And so that is something that even Abraham and all the people that lived in Mesopotamia, they tithed to their gods. And so when Abraham first started doing that, it was a big deal because he was saying to the Lord, you're my God. I'm going to give you that 10%. And so I did a really study on that one a couple years ago. That's in the archives. I just wanted to share that with you. You know, I wanted to talk about 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And actually speaking, it almost seems like a contradiction in a way, doesn't it? But really it's not, because we can look at the things that are unseen. If we have those eyes to see, just like John did, Moses, Ezekiel, Abraham, Mary, Joseph, Cornelius, Peter, every one of them. And we could go on and on, because God is a personal God. He wants us to have an encounter with him. I'm going to read a couple things out of the commentaries that I was reading out of, because they're so powerful. This one says this about this specific verse, and I thought this was so beautiful. It's called the law of higher vision. The seen exists in the midst of the unseen. There are two worlds, the world of sense and the world of spirit. And the world of spirit surrounds and spheres and interpenetrates the world of sense. We speak as if the world of sense came first and the world of spirit came after, whereas the truth is that the world of spirit is about us now. Though the veil of sense hangs between, we imagine that we dwell in time here and shall dwell in eternity hereafter. Well, the fact is we dwell in eternity here, though we take a little section of it and call it time. And if this be the correct way of putting it, see the fallacy of our common conceptions of death. We conceive of death as if it were an act of migration, a journey to some distant star. Is not the scripture view rather that unseen realities encompass now? What sights might we not see at every moment of our existence, at every turning of our path, had we only eyes to see them? And I'm going to stop and say, what does 1 Corinthians 2 have to say about that? It says that the Spirit reveals those things that the eye cannot see and the ear cannot hear, and that the mind cannot conceive. But for those who love God, the Holy Spirit reveals those unseen things to us. I mean, this is so beautiful. This guy has some serious revelation. The seen exists in the midst of the unseen. the temporal in the midst of the eternal. I mean, that is so beautiful, isn't it? I want to read what Poole said about this too. I actually forgot to put the name of the commentary on the last comment, so I'll have to find that for you. This one is from Poole. Two things support the spirits of Christians under trials. The eyeing of him who is invisible that supports Moses, Hebrews 11:27. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. The seeing by the eye of faith, the things which are invisible, the things which God has prepared in another world for those that love him, the things which eye hath not seen, entered into the heart of man to conceive. But you see, we can. Wendon said this, blessed are they whose spiritual inward can see that the world unveiled by revelation is included in the real and eternal, and the blessed eternal is theirs, so far as the spirit of faith animates them. And I love what the first one says, I think the most, because it says the seen exists in the midst of the unseen. And so the unseen, which can be seen, because we do have eyes to see now, that is the real. That is the real. And so I just wanted to give you a definition of, and it's only one of the definitions, because we're dealing with this specific view of heaven. Strong's 08064, if you want to see all the definitions, you can. But the one I wanted was heaven as the abode of God. And so the definition from dictionary.com in regards to supernatural, in regards to the Lord, it says this, of pertaining to or being above or beyond what is natural, unexplainable by natural law or phenomena, abnormal, of pertaining to characteristics of or attributed to God or a deity. Now, think about Moses in Exodus 3. I just want to take you there to Exodus 3:2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. Now, this is very interesting, because this is what the Lord says. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Now, isn't that interesting? The Lord saw that he turned aside to look, and then he called him. And I think that's something that we really need to think about, you know, instead of passing by everything so quickly. You know, what if the Lord is trying to talk to us and we just miss it? We just walk by. I think we really need to ask the Lord to help us to perceive when he's trying to speak with us, because he is supernatural. People try to pull him down into their natural box, and I'm sorry, it doesn't work. He doesn't operate the way you think he should. And not only that, some people want to take out half the scriptures because they don't understand things like the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They don't even understand the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit poured out prophecy in dreams and visions. They don't understand his gifts. And so they want to pull all these different pages out of the Bible to fit their God in a box, I'm going to call it, because they're trying to take out most of the Bible. God is supernatural. He operates from his realm and comes into ours. He does not operate the way we want him to. The word of God never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's just like people saying the fivefold ministry, that God stopped that. He never stopped that. Jesus gave it when he rose up into heaven. Why would he take it away? It's crazy. So let's go into the word fire. You know, in regards to the scripture talking with Moses, the word fire is Strong's number 0784. This means a supernatural fire. And I went into the Britannica Encyclopedia looking for a definition of a theophany, you know, according to different things. So this is what it says. From Greek phania, appearance of God, manifestation of deity in sensible form. The term has been applied generally to the appearance of the gods in the ancient Greek and Near Eastern religions, but has, in addition, acquired a special technical usage in regard to biblical materials. In the Old Testament, God is depicted as appearing in human form, in natural cataclysms, in a burning bush, a cloud, or a gentle breeze, forms often associated with the divine name or glory. Originally, a visible halo accompanying the divine appearance. Old Testament theophanies are presented as actual historical events or as prophetic visions with symbolic overtones. The mark of biblical theophanies is the temporariness and suddenness of the appearance of God, which is here not an enduring presence in a certain place or object. The extension of the term theophany to such New Testament events as baptism and the transfiguration of Jesus, also called epiphanies, has been questioned as inappropriate because in Orthodox Christian doctrine, Christ himself in his whole life and work and death is the manifestation of God. See, so right there, it's like they want to take that out of the New Testament because it doesn't fit their boxy view, but that it happened. It happened. The Lord appeared that way because he wanted to. And so, however, may be seen as the ultimate and fullest form of divine manifestation in a whole spectrum of theophanies. You know, and I was like thinking about how the Lord kept trying to have us apprehend by the Spirit. Like, for instance, Ephesians 2:6. Think of where we already are seated and raised up with him. We're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's Ephesians 2:6. And I read, again, I went into the commentaries, and there's a couple that I thought were pretty cool. So Vincent's word studies, he did a study on just plainly the phrase raised us up. And he compares Romans 6:5, made us sit together, compare set him in Ephesians 1:20. Together is ambiguous, render with him. Even now, we sit there in him and shall sit with him in the end. In other words, we're there. We're there already. It's already a done deal. Compare Romans 8:30 or Revelations 3:21. This is what Wesley said. And hath raised us up together, both Jews and Gentiles, already in spirit, and ere long our bodies too will be raised, and made us all sit together in heavenly places. This is spoken by way of anticipation. Believers are not yet possessed of their seats in heaven. Well, yet actually we are spiritually, but not in body. But each of them has a place prepared for time. And if we really apprehend what it means to be seated in heavenly places, it'll really seriously wreck us. And I really mean in a good way. Here's I wanted to read this one to you too. Hodge's commentary on Romans, Ephesians, and 1 Corinthians. And hath raised us up and caused us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is an amplification of what precedes, in its widest sense, the life, which in Ephesians 2:5 is said to be given to us, includes the exaltation expressed in this verse. It is therefore only by way of amplification that the apostles, after saying we are made partakers of the life of Christ, adds that we are raised up and enthroned with him in heaven. To understand this, we must know what is here meant by heavenly places, and in what sense believers are now the subjects of the exaltation you're spoken of. Throughout this epistle, the expression heavenly places means heaven. But the latter phrase has in Scripture a wide application. It means not only the atmospheric heavens in which the clouds have their habitation and the stellar heavens in which the sun, moon, and stars dwell, and the third heaven, the place where God specially manifests his presence and where the glorified body of Christ now is. Also, the state into which believers are introduced by their regeneration. I really want you to kind of ponder as I'm reading this, because it's pretty amazing. In this last sense, it coincides with one of the meanings of the phrase kingdom of heaven. It is the state of that purity, exaltation, and favor with God into which his children are even in this world introduced. I mean, we are already there. It's amazing. It's like we're in two worlds at one time. We're in the spirit, seated in heavenly places, spirit to spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, manifest the kingdom of God within us. I want to talk about two. In Luke 9:27, and I'm going to just ask a question, because Jesus makes this statement in Luke 9:27. He says, "But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Now think about that. He's saying they're going to be alive when they see the kingdom of God. And think about the kingdom of God is within us. So let's go in Luke 9:27. "But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Some 8 days after these saying, well, here we go. Here's the manifestation of it. They're going to see the kingdom of God while they're alive, while they're here. Some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were walking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep. When they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing there with him. And think about that a minute, because Peter was freaking out here. I mean, in reality, he didn't know what to do. So he says this, and as these were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not realizing what he was saying, while he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Well, that is the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory. The Holy Spirit works the same way from the beginning all the way through the end. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silence. I'm sure they were pretty freaked out and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. Why do the scriptures keep telling us to seek those things above? Because God wants to share his realm with us. And how does he do that? He does it in the realms of the spirit, through dreams and visions and prophecy, through the gifts of the spirit, and it all happens out of the word of God. I mean, does all this stuff line up with the word of God? Yes, it does. Think about in Colossians 3:1. "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory." And before I go to the next scriptures, I'm just going to stop and play a song. And so I'm going to play Misty Edwards' song. It's called "To Be With You," because that's what this is all about. God wants to be with us, and we want to be with him. We mutually want an encounter, and the Lord loves to encounter us. And so let's play this.
"Draw us after you, you who sit above the circle of the earth. You inhabit eternity. Your name is holy, holy. Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end, the first, the last. This is my beloved, This is my friend. He is altogether lovely. Rightly do I love him. Rightly do I trust him.
To see your face, my Isn't that beautiful? That's Misty Edwards. Such a beautiful servant of God. I want to take you into Revelation 4, and then I'm going to continue this next week because of the technical difficulties. I'm just going to continue next week with the rest of the information I had. And I think we're just going to make this a series because we need to see how God worked with people, manifested himself to people from the Old Testament through the New. I mean, the Holy Spirit has been at work since creation and before, of course, because he's eternal. Jesus is eternal. The Father is eternal. And so let's look at Revelation. I want to take you. Okay, I'm going to take you in Revelations 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. Again, in Revelation 4, he was told to come up here. This was a door in the Spirit that could only be accessed through the Holy Spirit, through the eternal part of man's spirit. Christ in us, the hope of glory, kingdom of God is within us. Where? In our spirits, which can affect our minds and our bodies, our souls, and our world around us, all if we're born from above. And so after these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne comes flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, which if you look in Isaiah 11, it tells you what those are. And before the throne was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, of course, those are the angelic, those are the angels. The cherub and the seraphim are in this chapter, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy is the Lord, the God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed, and they were created. Now, there is a meaning, of course, to every one of these things. And it's such a beautiful study to study it out, to study out Revelation 4. And if you want to see a beautiful study, go to MikeBickle.org because he does a series on the beauty realm of God. It's just so incredible. I've been studying, studying and listening to his teaching, and it's just fabulous. And so I'm going to just let a song play at the end, and we're just going to continue this next week, and maybe we can discuss some of the meanings of this chapter, because as we know, the rainbow actually was a covenant sign, sign to the earth. It is not the way modern people use it. And so we're just going to stop. I'm just going to say thank you for joining me, and I'm sorry for the technology bloopers. And we'll continue. We're going to just continue talking about how God encountered people. And he shows us things in the Word of God. I mean, if you think about Ezekiel, think about Ezekiel a minute. I think if he was in this day and age and he told some people what he saw, what do you think they'd say about him? And it was a true God encounter. And so we really need to be careful and prayerful, because God still speaks the same. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God speaks through dreams. He speaks through visions. He speaks through trances. He speaks the same way he spoke from Genesis through Revelation. And I think people, they will attribute certain things to the devil when it's really God, and that is a scary place to be. And so we need to be prayerful. We need to ask God for revelation and illumination. And so I'm going to play this song for you, and we'll see you next week. This is called Come Holy Spirit. This is, of course, IHOP.
Continuing to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this region. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs on the earth beneath. Lord, we ask you today, Lord, we come into agreement with your word. Lord, that which you've spoken and that which you've confirmed in days past. Lord, we pray for the fullness of that which you promised. Jesus, we ask that you would send the promise of the Father just as you did in Jerusalem years ago. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit, that a prophetic voice would come forth from the church, O God. That a prophetic voice would come forth, as it did with the apostles, that would turn cities upside down as a testimony of Jesus and his coming rule and reign, O God. We ask you that you would release the prophetic spirit upon the church, that as the proclamation of the gospel goes forth, that suddenly cities are changed, O God. Suddenly regions are converted. Suddenly there would be a great witness that you would breathe upon us, that your presence would go with us, that your presence would be upon us like it was with Moses, like it was with the saints of old. Lord, we ask you for our day and our time. Lord, we ask you for today, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We ask you today for your increased manifest presence in our city and in this region. Father, that you would glorify your Son with the spirit of prophecy on the church. Lord, that you would glorify your Son with the great witness that would come forth of his return. Lord, we ask you today, pour out your Spirit. We ask you today to manifest your presence still more and more as we draw near to your return, O God. Lord, we ask you, pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit. Let the sons and daughters prophesy, O God. Let there be dreams and visions. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you, release the promise. Release all that you have for us in Jesus' name. Pour out your